The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Thank you very much, Peter. Lovely to be here this morning. I love the census. I don't know about you, but when it comes round every 5 years, I actually go and get myself a copy. Well, I used to get myself a hard copy. You don't need to do that anymore because you can just get it up straight up online. And I recommend you do it, particularly if you're interested in the religion question, because there's some really useful information there. There's some even more useful information in a second report that I'm going to talk about. This is the McCrindle survey that came out in May of this year, drilled down into questions of religious belief in Australia even considerably more detailed way than the census did. But I'll start with the census and then I'll come to McCrindle. So what do the raw figures tell us? I reckon there's something in it for everyone. Christians and atheists and everyone in between. What do the figures really tell us? Well, the headline figure, the one you've no doubt seen mentioned in the newspapers, on television, is that 52% of Australians, so still a bare majority, identified as Christian. That was down considerably from the last census 5 years ago, where that number was 61%. So it's a fair drop, 61 down to 52. And a huge drop since the 1966 census. So 50 years ago, it was 88%. And that number had been steady since the 1920s, more or less. It was about 100% at Federation. So there's still a bare majority, but is this going to be the last time that the Christian box being ticked is a majority? I suspect so, if present trends continue. Interestingly, we're only over 50 because of two states, New South Wales and Queensland, are the only two majority Christian states. All of the rest are in the 40s now. It's quite a 5 or 6% difference between New South Wales and Queensland and the rest. The figure for other religions, non-Christian religions, is virtually unchanged in 5 years. It was 7% in 2011, it's now 8%. So a modest increase, but very modest in the scheme of things. The other number that's really changed is the no religion answer. So that was 22% in sort of one in five, roughly, in 5 years ago, 2011. It's now 30%. So it's a big jump. Now, of course, as most of you know, that might partly have been a function of the way the question was asked. So the no religion box used to be the last option in the census list, and it was moved up to the top for the 2016 census. So I've seen a lot of Christian apologists say, oh, look, it's all about just the boxes at the top. It's a donkey vote. I think that's wishful thinking. I think the 30% probably is an accurate figure. Although the question arises, of course, what does no religion actually mean? Certainly doesn't mean atheism in most cases, the research shows. We'll come back to that. And 10% of people didn't answer the question. It was optional. It's the one optional question in the census. So where does that leave us? Very roughly speaking, you've got 60% of people identifying with a religion of some sort, whether Christian or another religion, and 40% of Australians either saying no religion or too apathetic to even answer the question. So let's drill down a bit, because those numbers, they're interesting, but let's look at the numbers behind the census. There's some really interesting results. Now, from my point of view, the first interesting result was to look at the individual denominations. Can we detect any trends there? Almost all of them went down. Certainly all the big traditional ones. I'm afraid the biggest loser were the Anglicans. So they dropped from 17% 5 years ago to 13%. So proportionally, that's the biggest drop of all. Considerably bigger drop than the Catholic identification, which was higher, 25% 5 years ago, now down to 22.5%. Now, pause there. It's still a drop. That suggests to me that for all the horror of the child sex abuse Royal Commission and allegations, that can't be a factor that's actually driving existing believers out of the church. The factors are broader than that. Otherwise, the Catholic number would have plunged and the Anglican number would have been steady. But that's not the trend that we're seeing. The Uniting Church is almost disappearing. It's gone down from a pretty meagre five years ago to now 3-point-something%. Another interesting fact, the Pentecostal number is still 1%. Hasn't moved in 5 years. And a lot of Christians when I go and speak at places, say, "Oh, you've forgotten the Pentecostals, Roy. You know, that's where the real growth is, mate. Forget about the old denominations. You know, Anglican, Catholic, Methodist, United." But there's no growth at all in that category, according to the census. The only Christian category that went up, and it's only a modest little increase, but I think it's significant, because I ticked this box myself. It's just Christian, not further defined. So that went up slightly, from 2-3%. And maybe there's a trend there. I don't know. You hear certain types of Christians complaining that the whole problem is immigration and other religions. You know, they're stealing our adherence. Nonsense. The census, I think, is further proof of how shallow that argument is. For a start, the number hasn't really risen in 5 years. It's a marginal increase from 7-point-something to 8-point-something. One slightly significant point, perhaps, Islam did go ahead of Buddhism as the most common non-Christian religion. But again, it's very marginal. So Islam is now 2.6% of the population. Buddhism is now 2.5%. They sort of flipped. But we're talking small numbers here. The biggest mover in other religions is actually Hinduism, up from 1-2% and climbing. So Hinduism might actually pass both in the next census. But they're modest numbers. What about the no religion? That's the biggest mover of all. And let's drill down into that briefly. It's higher, and this is scary, of course, for Christians and anyone of religious bent. It's highest by far in the young age group. So in the demographic of 18 to 34 years, we're at 40% no religion. So even the modest majority I talked about at the beginning, of 52% Christian overall, even that average is being propped up by 65-plus-year-olds. And as the younger generations keep coming, on these trends, the number will keep falling.
Mm.
And that's been the trend in the last few censuses, not just this one. Another interesting point. No religion, the no religion answer is considerably more common among people born in Australia as opposed to people born overseas. There's a very significant gap there. Now, of course, the people born overseas, which is a third of the population now, people born overseas category, some of the religious people in it are not Christians. That's where many of the other religion answers come from. But not exclusively. Not exclusively. What that suggests to me is that it's something about modern 21st century Australian culture that is the real driver here. And more traditional religious cultures, people, especially from non-first world countries, are boosting that number. So immigration is actually a plus rather than a minus when it comes to general religious affiliation. And if I can boast, I did predict all of these things in Postcard Nation. So I don't know if any of you have heard me talk before, but I talk about what I reckon are the four big factors, and I reckon they absolutely scream through the results of this census. I think the four big factors driving the decline of religious belief and identification are ignorance, number one. It's a function of the education system. Misconceptions about science, what it really does prove and what it doesn't prove. A catch-all category, nationalism. So the idea that country comes ahead of everything else, and that's mixed up with historical issues about the wars of the 20th century and so on. And the fourth is just prosperity, affluence, material affluence. I think they're the big four factors by far. And I think this McCrindle survey, which I'll now turn to, tends to bring that home. I thoroughly recommend this. This is the survey you've got on your tables. I think the executive summary and a couple of other pages. Although it came out in May 2017, it was actually done before the 2016 census results came out. So it's slightly incongruous because it refers to the 2011 census by way of comparison. But the figures are even more up to date, and they're basically in line with the census. The Christian headline number is lower. It's actually 45%, so under a majority, as opposed to the census 52. But I think that can be explained because McCrindle included another category. Some of you have probably heard of this. Spiritual but not religious. That's an increasing category in Australian society. 14% of the population, so about one in seven people. Spiritual but not religious. And McCrindle argues what the census was picking up was half of those people still ticked the Christian box because they didn't want to say no religion. And the other half ticked the no religion box. But it doesn't mean they're not interested in matters of spirituality and faith. Quite the contrary. The other religions number was exactly the same as the census, 8%. And the no religion number, very, very similar, 32% in McCrindle, 30% in the census. So I think they complement each other and they confirm the trends. They're absolutely unarguable as to what the real numbers are. Another interesting fact that came out of McCrindle was, in that no religion category I've been talking about, men far more likely to say no religion than women. It's a very significant difference. And that is consistent with everything I've read and everything I've researched about the history of Australia in the 20th century, women have always been far better churchgoers than men. And the decline of religion in Australia, which I argue you can date from World War One, saw a huge plunge initially in men leaving the churches. And that trend has continued to this day. Now, we could argue for the rest of the day about why that is so, but I think that's an interesting fact for all evangelists to bear in mind, all social commentators. So I'm conscious of time, I'm just going to raise what I thought were a few notable little snippets to emerge from the McCrindle survey, and then we can ask questions, we can have a discussion. I'm throwing these up for consideration because I thought they were really interesting. Point number one, and this applies to all Australians, whatever their views, one way or the other, a majority are still open to change their views. It's only a bare majority, it's only 52%. But that's quite encouraging, because think about it, if I was asked that question, I'd say no. I'm not open to change my views. I'm so sure of my faith. I mean, I'm open to change my views on individual issues here and there, but I'm not going to realistically change my worldview. So I think most of those people are unbelievers, or people who are, you know, in doubt of some sort. So that's encouraging for those who are evangelists. Second very interesting point. People were asked, what's the biggest attraction to you in investigating religion? You know, why would you take it seriously? Why might you be open to Christianity, for example? By far the biggest answer, observing people living out a genuine faith. Now, that's just the New Testament. I mean, there's so many verses I could quote. Colossians 5 comes to one. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So the Christians, living that Christian life, being seen to be genuine, being seen to live it out, you never know when someone is watching you. And someone may be inspired to think again. Anyway, that's what Australians are telling the pollsters. By an overwhelming margin, is the one factor that might persuade them to think again. Now, Christians, frankly, have got to pick up their act. Some of the answers from this survey about the Christians, so the 45% who called themselves Christians, are really quite alarming. Only one in three Christians attends church regularly. One in three. One in two Christians, so we're talking about people who tick the Christian box, half of those people never go to church. So you wonder sort of how soft are those numbers. I mean, the mind boggles. And only one in six Christians, which is 7% of the population of Australia, one in six Christians are what you'd call very involved, very involved in their church church life and their prayer life, Bible reading, and so on. So that's a pretty thin slither, but don't lose heart. So that history shows, if nothing else, that 7 or 10%. Probably about 10%. The people who are really fervent can be disproportionately influential, especially if there's a large number in positions of authority in society, who are in a position to change people's minds. The Roman Empire was only 10% Christian when Constantine converted. So, as I say, history shows that if that minority is fervent enough, really believes and sets a good example, things can change. So it's not hopeless. I mean, I wouldn't want to see that number drop any further, but that number's been fairly steady over a series of McCrindle surveys. So even though you've got the overall level of these sort of very soft affiliated cultural Christians, that number's heading down sharply. But the number of the fervent is staying pretty much the same. Okay, so to finish up, what about the non-Christians, the 55%, the 55% of the population found by the McCrindle survey? Well, for a start, a fair slab of that are the spiritual but not religious. Very fertile territory, I'd have thought, for evangelists of all religions. Though, I suspect that within that category, you'd have a large proportion of people who would have given the answers to another question McCrindle asked. What are the biggest blockers to you believing in Christianity? And the two biggest answers by far, I'm not even going to comment. I'm just going to say what the two biggest answers were, overwhelmingly. The Christian church's attitudes towards homosexuality and the idea of eternal hell. Now, again, without comment, I would bet my life savings that in the spiritual but not religious category, most people would have nominated those blockers as at least significant to them, rightly or wrongly. And also in the other religions category, that's another fertile area, in my opinion, for Christian evangelism. It's not something to be afraid of. I've made this point many times, I'll make it again. Christians have a lot more in common than a devout believer in, say, Islam, than your average totally apathetic, totally clueless atheist or agnostic born in Australia. Mm. And there are converts. There are converts all the time across the monotheistic faiths. So the toughest people to crack, unquestionably, will be that 30% or thereabouts who say no religion. Now, what are their problems? What are the blockers there? Now, I think you've got to distinguish two things. Firstly, what they say the blockers are, and secondly, what the real blockers are. So McCrindle actually asked them the question. Okay, you've said no religion, why? What's your problem? Biggest answer by far? Science. Biggest answer by far is science disproves religion, disproves the supernatural. I prefer science and reason to superstition. I went, you beauty, that was one of my big four factors. I wasn't sure where to put it in the list, but I was slightly surprised that was the biggest factor by far, but it's interesting. I must say, in all my sort of 10 years out there trying to raise these issues, probably the biggest comeback I got, both in person and online, is, Roy, haven't you read any science? Don't you know anything about the way the world works? And I said, yes, I do. I suspect I know a lot more than 99% of the population. And that was the initial reason I got interested in religion and went over to Christianity, ultimately. But that's another issue. I think there's grounds for optimism there, because it ties in with what I think is the biggest factor of all, and that's ignorance. It's just that people don't know. They don't know enough about science. They don't know enough about Christianity. They don't know enough about the history of their own country. So when you get, and these are the second, these are the other main answers, our religion is just a crutch for the weak. That was a big answer. That was the second biggest answer. Third biggest, our religion is old-fashioned. Fourth biggest, our religion is for uneducated people. So they're all functions of ignorance. They're just people who don't know enough, and they need to be taught. Now, how are they going to be taught? Well, I went on a crusade in Postcard Nation about the importance of schools. I'm going to end it here because I think schools are the key, especially when you consider those demographics. You know, it's the young age groups that are by far the most non-religious, older people, not going to be with us forever. Unless that trend is reversed, the numbers will just keep going down. The schools are the key, and here's a problem. McCrindle asked parents of school-aged children, do you consider it is appropriate for matters of religion and spirituality to be discussed in public schools? Discussed. We're not talking here about proselytising. And 22% of Australians, so that's one in five, say that it's inappropriate. Inappropriate to even be discussed. Sorry, it's not 22, it's one in three. It's a third. It's a third of people say it's not even appropriate to be discussed in a public school, where most of our children are educated. And one in ten actually said it's not even appropriate in a Christian school. I smile, but that's what we're up against. So I'm going to leave it there. There's a gold mine of stuff in here. If you're interested, just get hold of your own copy, or just look up the census. But happy to take questions. Okay, some terrific questions here. Roy, do you have a short answer as to why in the 21st century more men are ticking no religion? I guess all I can say is that is just, it's like, it's a fact of life. It's been the case for a century in Australia. Now, why? What are the blockers to religion? One is materialism. Men still are probably more wrapped up in the everyday activity of just making money, getting ahead in the world. Tend to perhaps be more sense of self-reliance. I mean, these are generalisations, of course. Men fight in wars. Historically, that is a killer of religious faith. Every war leads to, of the 20th century, led to a decline in male church going. That's not such a factor today, but it is an historical factor. I don't know. I mean, perhaps the women in the room can tell me. They're just—it's proportional. I mean, it's not black and white, but it's a significant trend. There are a few of my ideas. This question was also about men and women. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. Has the proportion changed? I think it has slightly. The initial drop, as I say, was after World War I. There's no question about that. And that's not just in Australia, across the Western world. England was even more affected by it. Church of England never recovered from World War I. But I think certainly the proportions haven't improved, put it that way. Women still make up 60% plus of church goes in Australia. It's been the same for some time. Another question. If parents and family have the greatest influence in Australian perception of Christianity, I think that's undoubtedly true, that's always been true of any religion, is the decline of Christian affiliation explained in part by the decline of the traditional family. There are chicken and egg questions here, aren't there? It's tricky. I'd tend to argue that the decline of the traditional family, which dates from the 1960s, which is a whole other issue again, the pill, sexual revolution, attitudes to sanctity of life issues and so on, they undoubtedly have had an impact. But to say one caused the other is frankly impossible to answer. There's a symbiotic relationship between the two, I have no doubt. The trend of modern opinion in Australia and across the West since the 1960s has been the opposite of the Christian worldview. So on questions of economic justice, for example, we've got more unequal. But on questions of morality, we've got far more libertarian. So in both directions, these are factors working against family life. And yes, I think that's been a factor in the decline of religion across the Western world. Because when you look at third world countries, there's no such decline. In fact, religion is booming in many third world countries where you have much more traditional family work-life structures. Do you believe religion has evolved like everything else has in 2017? What is the one thing we can do every day to change the numbers? Well, second question first. Australians are telling you the one thing is, as a Christian, to live out Christianity. People to really live it genuinely. That's what people are looking for. That's what people are impressed by. That's how the Christian church got started, because the Christians stood out. They were, who are these people? You know, they're incredible. Do you believe religion has evolved? Well, yes it has. It's been influenced unquestionably by technology, you know, the scientific revolution itself, a product of Christianity, but it has led, as we've seen, to deleterious effects on Christianity because of misconceptions about what science does and doesn't prove or disprove. Massive increase in wealth across the Western world has undoubtedly had an impact, so that's another effect on the evolution of the church. So yes, it has changed, but of course the core beliefs really haven't changed. So you read the book of Proverbs or something, I'm always amazed. Nothing's really changed. You know, the key facts about how human beings live their lives haven't changed. Some underlying factors in society have changed. What else have we got here? Assuming that the number of the fervent, that's the 10%, has stayed fairly constant over the last few decades, that's true, do you think there's been a significant cultural shift against Christianity? Is this deeply cultural or driven by the media and elites? Yeah, there's a couple of questions along those lines. Yes, unquestionably, cultural Christianity is going out. And unquestionably, the media has played a role in that. So, I mean, I've had two books published by the ABC. Some people regard as a kind of miracle in itself. My pushback is, actually, it's partly right. There are a lot of people within the ABC who are hostile towards Christianity. But the flip side is, the ABC is actually the only serious media organisation that even talks about religion in any, put aside Christian radio stations and so on. The commercial media is appalling. I mean, commercial television and radio is a wasteland when it comes to Christianity. Not so much actively hostile, but just totally pig ignorant. and the values it espouses are just completely the opposite of all things Christian. So, yes, the media plays a part, undoubtedly. I think the universities and schools play an even bigger part. I think that's really where young minds have been affected. Undoubtedly that cultural shift exists. It has been driven by the elites as well. I don't like that term elites. It's anti-intellectual, and Christianity started, Edwin Judge and others have proved this, Christianity started from the top down, not from the bottom up. It started because of the elites. What we need more of today are elites who know something about Christianity and are prepared to put their money where their mouth is, put it into universities, put it into private schools, put it in somehow into reform of public schools. So the elites are the answer, not as much as the problem. There might well be. Yeah, let me just see. Okay. Why do Christians have such a weak presence in the media? Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, it's close to my heart because I've been trying for 10 years to crack it, and it's really hard. I mean, the two short answers are, one, commercial media is not interested because there's no money in it, and the ABC is a strange mixture of downright hostility on the one hand, and it's being marginalised internally. I don't know if you've followed this, but the ABC religion department is actually really good. It's fantastic. The ABC religion website, it's got some of the best stuff you'll read. But internally, and it's not helped by this new chairwoman, internally it's under the gun. It's facing all the usual horrible neoliberal budget pressures, don't make any money, you know. So they're the factors at play.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.